Oh, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Live Dharma Sunday. And this is Sayo from Orlando, Florida, and I will be helping co-host our show for this lovely Sunday morning. And before we continue, let me make sure to see if Koyo-sensei is online. Okay. Well, we'll give him a few more moments to go ahead and dial in. And hopefully everybody is having a great holiday season. Hopefully everyone had a good Christmas yesterday. I know at least here in Florida, we've had a pretty good example of impermanence, especially since yesterday was beautiful skies, clear skies, sunny and bright. And overnight it got dark and kind of a little chilly. So it goes to show another teaching of how things just change and impermanence. And I know that today we're joined by Moritz Sekio-sensei, who is also from Florida. And what we'll do is I guess we'll go ahead and have Sensei offer his Dharma glimpse.
Yes, thank you, Sayo-sensei. Today, in a dozen or so countries around the world, people are celebrating Boxing Day. The exact origins of this holiday has long since been lost. But Boxing Day seems to have begun in England in the Middle Ages, and it was apparently the day when alms boxes were opened and the money distributed to the poor. It was also a time for the wealthy classes to give food and maybe a financial bonus to their servants. In any case, it was historically a day when people could exercise their generosity. And so I think it's a great holiday. As a practicing Buddhist who grew up culturally Christian, I often find myself explaining to friends that, yes, I observe the holiday season, because I like the way it encourages us to cultivate a generous heart. Last year, about this time, some of my Buddhist friends and I had decided that instead of just participating in the usual food drives, we'd go to a local barbecue joint that's famous for its smoked turkeys, and we'd buy hot food for the shelter families who were spending their holidays in a local homeless shelter. When we showed up at the shelter with turkeys and trimmings, the director was very happy to see us, of course, and he thanked us profusely. But it was interesting, while he was thanking me, I kept feeling like I should be thanking him. When the Buddha would explain his Dharma to a new follower, he would often begin by talking about the importance of generosity. And it occurred to me that evening, as I sat on my comfortable sofa with a full belly and a fire in the fireplace, that the shelter staff had made it very easy for me to do that which the Buddha had said was the first step on the spiritual path, to open up my hands and heart and to let go. The Buddha once said that if beings knew the results of giving and sharing, they would not eat without having given. Even if it were their last bite, their last mouthful, they would not eat without having shared. And he said that because we don't understand the value of giving, and the stain of miserliness can overcome our minds. Of course, you don't have to be a Buddhist to understand how the benefits of generosity work and to understand the harm that can be caused by the clinging of miserliness. Sometimes I think that I can thank Charles Dickens for some of the values that led me to Buddhism. This time of year, I often recall A Christmas Carol and the lament of Marley's ghost, who shook the chains that bound him and howled that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused. Mankind was my business, he understood all too late. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. In his commentaries on one of the sutras, Reverend Gyomei Kobosi talks about a time when the Buddha went for alms to a village that was struck very hard by famine, and others criticized him for knowingly begging for food where the villagers could hardly heat themselves alive. The Buddha replied by explaining that he had gone to that particular village to beg on purpose. What people need most at a time like this is the spirit of dana, of giving to others, he said. At a time of famine, people become so frantic to get food for themselves that they will do anything, steal from others, overpower weaker ones, even kill. And that violence and murder are worse than the hunger itself. So what they need most at times like this is to share. Sometimes people will criticize our society's commercializing of the holidays, but I think if we shift our focus away from buying and toward giving, this time of year can offer us a lot, regardless of whatever religious label we happen to stick on ourselves. We can use this holiday as a reminder to cultivate generosity, not just in the weeks from Thanksgiving to New Year's, but all year long. it can help to recognize that the gift is not all that important. The Buddha once pointed out that even to rinse out a bowl and pour the rinse water on the ground, thinking, may the beings that live here benefit from these bits of food, can be a meritorious act. It's the giving that makes the difference in our hearts. So thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has a great Boxing Day and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Morisekyo Sensei. I think we all enjoyed that. I agree very much with a Christmas carol. That's always been a very, very big Dharma teaching around this time of year, and how we can, you know, use the holidays, you were saying, to give more, you know, to come together and benefit one another. And well, let's see, is Koyo Sensei on the air now?
I am. Thank you.
Oh, well,
very
welcome
much.
To the show, Sensei. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, you know, I have to admit that when one's routine is disrupted, the mind is a funny thing, and I completely forgot about this morning's show. So I apologize for being late, but I'm so glad I'm here. I was just, I'm at my son's place and in Redwood City, and I slept here last night and with Easy, the dog, and it's just a quiet, quiet home right now in the early morning, and I brewed a cup of tea, and I was getting ready to take the dog out, and I had taken him out earlier in the morning because he had to go out, and I was just taking my time because of yesterday was so hectic and family get together, and I slept so well, and then I was drinking my tea, sitting down, and bam, it hit me, and I said, oh, and I looked at the clock, and 8:05, ay, ay, ay. But I had my folder, and I called, and by golly, things were going on good. I was so happy and so glad that things were taken care of. So now, I'm recalling, you know, on the topic of gratitude, I was looking at an article here on the science of gratitude. It's not really necessary to talk about the science of gratitude, but it's worth mentioning, too. This was an article that appeared in the Golden Chain, which is a newsletter of Southern Alameda County Buddhist Church in Union City, California. Reverend Taniguchi writes this article on science of gratitude. She says, have you ever heard of a scientific field on gratitude? She says, yeah, I heard of this just recently, and I immediately wanted to know more about it, for gratitude is the core of, you know, Buddhist life and practice. And, we know as a spiritual, in the spiritual field, being grateful and thankful, it's very important. It's universally encouraged and cultivated, but as far as she knew, it had never been the object of science. But now, psychologists, neuroscientists, and psychiatrists are studying it. And several weeks ago at the University of California at Berkeley, she attended a seminar called Building Gratitude. And the two presenters, one was a Dr. Robert Emmons, psychology prof at the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Rick Hansen, neuropsychologist at Wellspring Institute for Neuroscience. And they're both sort of pioneers in the scientific study of gratitude. They did a research project regarding, you know, on this Thanksgiving season and going into the holidays like that. They got several hundred people which they randomly divided into three groups, and each group was assigned to keep daily diaries on the following themes. And there's three themes listed here. The first group kept a diary of the events that occurred during the day. Okay, just, I guess, what went on during the day. Now, the second group, they recorded the unpleasant experiences of the day. And the third group made a list of things that they were grateful for during the day. So you got these three groups. And the results of the study from this kind of self-reporting, when they're what we would call the dependent variables, you know, this is what they measure. They measure the, I don't know exactly the instruments that they use, but they did the blood pressure and some degrees of alertness. They also did some sense of isolation or enthusiasm, determination, optimism, level of energy. And they found that the daily gratitude group was the highest on all these positive scores. The gratitude group experienced better sleep, less depression and stress, more likely to help others. They exercised more regularly than before. They made more progress toward, you know, their personal goals. People who feel grateful are also more likely to feel loved. They also noted that the gratitude encouraged the positive cycle of reciprocal kindness among people. You know, because one act of gratitude encourages another. And so, in general, said the results show that gratitude played a significant role in a person's sense of well-being. Like I said, I think it is very interesting. But, you know, of course, it's not necessary to say, well, therefore, we should really cultivate gratitude because science shows that these positive results in one's personal life. And I think that it is kind of, you know, good evidence in a sense. Maybe for some people, it's that little bit of, everyone might agree that gratitude is good, but how much can it be put into practice in one's personal life? That little stone sort of that builds up a little weight and makes a tipping point on a scale, then they start to really practice it. Every little bit helps. And this kind of information, you know, might be just the one that says, hey, yeah, of course, come on. Okay. And when you think in the common sense in a way, but mental health field, I'm overgeneralizing, but I don't think anybody that when you talk about mental illness, I think at the core of mental illness is a spiritual problem. And one aspect of this is self-centeredness in a negative way where, you know, you're sort of a complainer, a whiner, a judgmental person, which we all are these things, but to the degree and a certain quality of it that comes out, you know, in a person's personality. In other words, all the things that a grateful person is not countered by the gratitude. A person that sees things to be grateful for, it's not that, hey, factually, I don't have that much to be grateful for. Nuh-uh, it's not that. If it's a grateful person or not, it's not an objective sense of, well, how much do I have? It's who you are. And are you grateful for what you do have, regardless of what it is? I remember a story. There was a, you know, maybe it was in Bosnia or something like this. So war rabbits bombed out little town, and a mother and her daughter, maybe she was about 8 or 9 years old, were wandering around and looking for shelter. Night was coming, it was cold, the wind was picking up, and they found a door that was leaning up, providing a little shelter among the rubble of a building. And so they huddled behind this door, and they had a little shelter. And then the little girl looked at the mom and said, "Gee, Mom, what do people that didn't find a little door like this doing tonight?" They were so grateful for that door. Then in any cases where you find, I think, persons suffering from some form of mental illness, you won't find gratitude. I don't know if there's any science behind this statement, but I certainly believe in that. And that person who has gratitude will be mentally healthy. Again, I said maybe I'm overgeneralizing this, but I think that's a well-founded opinion. And it produces, and maybe some of the science of gratitude will support it with physiological data and all that. But the feeling of richness in life, contentedness, a deep sense of joy, not just momentary happiness, okay, which is fine too, but that deeper sense, like I read once in some kind of novel, and it was just describing a person. The guy saw this lady's face, and the expression sort of on this lady's face was that she had one big thing in life and she had accomplished it. It was a sense of, some deep joy at the core of her being, contentedness. And I think this is what the spirituality and real gratitude, not superficial gratitudes, but real gratitude, all the levels of gratitude, being grateful for a nice sip of hot tea, and then going more deeper, thankful for family, thankful for what we could do in the holiday times, thankful for a leaning door in a war-torn rubble of a town. Once we realize and become a grateful person, we don't have to look around for what we're grateful for. No, it comes out. There was a story about a person who was Gunpei, I don't know, that name comes to mind, a Japanese name, but he was famous in this little town from Grateful Gunpei because he was always expressing gratitude for every little thing. So maybe you shouldn't say it all the time. People might not like you, might be irritating in a sense. Okay, that's another issue, though. But he was always expressing his gratitude. Good to see you. Even though it's a member of his family, sees every morning. Good to see you. Whenever he injured himself, I'm grateful that I didn't injure myself worse. So, I think it's in the spirit of this holiday season we do have, and at the end of the year, when we count our blessings, that indeed, may we become more grateful people. Thank you very much.
On that note, I think you brought up a good point, Sensei. This will be the last broadcast of 2010. If I'm right, I think, next week, the next Sunday will be the first.
That's right.
Am I right? Saturday.
Yeah.
Or second. Sunday the 2nd will be the next broadcast. So I guess the next session will be the new session of the new year.
That's right. You're right. And it'll be in the Chinese animal calendar. It's 2011 is Year of the Rabbit.
Well, that's a good sort of metaphor of hopping through the next year.
Okay, I love it.
quickly hop into the next year.
Okay, I guess we'll close if there is there not anything else. We appreciate, again, our Dharma Glimpser, Morris Sekio Sullivan, and appreciate Jito Sayo Sensei and for hosting today. It's our obligation, and we did have a beautiful year, and we're going to have an even more beautiful coming year. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.